We're ready to begin our Sevier School District School Board meeting. We are located in the Sevier School District office. Today is Wednesday, April 15th, 2026. It's 3 o'clock. Those in attendance, Board Member Rick Orr has asked to be excused. Those in attendance are Jill Porter, Vice President Ryan Savage, Jack Hansen, and myself, John Foster. From the administration, we have Superintendent Dr. Kay Douglas, Assistant Superintendent Mike Willis, Business Administrator Chad Lloyd, and Executive Secretary Kristen Nielsen. Ryan Savage has consented to take care of our preliminary.
Our Father in Heaven, we're grateful this time for the moisture that we've received, and grateful for the moisture that is projected to be coming into our valley. And we ask that you bless us, that we'll be able to do what thou would have us do for our students in this valley as we go through this meeting. Bless us that our minds will be open to thy will. And we ask this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
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 I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, Mr. Savage. Okay, to begin with, let's take a look at the consent agenda. Are there any comments or any discussion on any of the items in the consent agenda?
Superintendent?
If there are none,
bring up the travel.
I do, yeah, thanks for reminding me.
So, as you can see, this is the time of year we get a lot of the out-of-state travel. Thanks for the reminder, Krista. For our, what do we call them? The clubs.
CTSOs?
The student clubs. So, we've had, there's a specific policy with those students as they are officers in their clubs. And these are the FFA, FBLA, OSA, all those. There's a really good one now that we have an active group from North Sevier in the teaching as a career. But it's a little tricky because sometimes we only have one student or two students that are eligible to attend that. So we've had to overcome some struggle there with when there's only one student, we always require two chaperones to go with the one student. We wouldn't want to have one-on-one. Or if there's two students, we always make sure we get written permission from the parents that they're aware that their student will be traveling, who their student will be traveling with. And we also have the advisor, the teacher that advises that club, they also spend a lot of time coordinating with other clubs from other schools. So they'll stay in the same hotel, attend the same, you know, they'll travel together. So we don't have, you know, one student. The ideal number would be, you know, three or four or five. So we have one adult with five students, that type of ratio. And it's all outlined in our policy. But it is a little tricky when there's only one or two students. Airfare is also really expensive. So this year, one of the travel plans that you'll be approving today is they're going to drive. It's in Washington State, which is a little bit of a stretch. But they're driving instead of flying, and parents agreed to that. It actually was more cost-effective. So there is one additional out-of-state travel plan that came in that I told them, and it's difficult, the timing on these as well, because they're just finding out if their students qualified to attend. And I told them that I would discuss it, that it should be fine. It's one student, and in that one they're going to have they're going to travel with another high school, so I think we're in good shape. I just wanted you'll be seeing that on the next agenda, but in order to get the travel plans and get things going, tentatively approving it today. So, any questions on those? We work as closely as we can with risk management on those to make sure we're not stopping students from their ability to travel, but it does get really tricky when you're sending two adults with one student. We try to avoid that, but sometimes only one student qualifies.
Those are typically really good experiences for those students, too. I'm glad we encourage that.
Yeah, it's good.
Right. Also on our consent agenda, we have student recognition. I'd like to take just a moment to recognize the students that we're sending a letter to and congratulating them. First of all, from North Sevier High School, we have the Sterling Scholar winner, Paisley Hallows in social science. And we also had a runners-up, Emmett Nelson in ag science. The other school representatives from North Sevier were Megan Beacom, Emmett Nelson, Cruz Hallows, Bobby Joe Perfect, McKay Foote, Paisley Hallows in social science, Boston Mason, and William Chaston. From Richfield High School, several runners-up. Leela Walser, speech and drama, Ronald Livingston, music, Bella Rose Crane, and dance, Macy Madriaga, in English and literature, Gabriella Fielding in family and consumer science, Kiana Byers in social science, Oakley Gardner in world languages, and Joshua Watcott in general scholarship. So they did very well. The other school representatives were Leah Walser, Ronald Livingston, Jada Torgerson, Elijah Thalman, Isabel Nielsen, Isabella Aguilar. And from South Sevier, they had a runners-up in dance, and that was Gracie Weiniger. Their other school representatives, Sterling Scholars, were Chase Winkler, Dante Madsen, Jackson Mitchell, Rachel Child, Landon Viula, Kayla Johns, Jason Dorgan, and Layla Jenkins. And so a letter of congratulations will be sent to all of them. It's great to have these students in our schools. All right, with that then, I'd ask, is there any other discussion or questions for the consent agenda? If not, I would entertain a motion that we accept the consent agenda.
I'd make that motion, Mr. President.
I'll second it.
Been moved and seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Superintendent, it's my understanding that we don't have anybody who has signed up for patron comment. Is that correct?
No. Has anybody signed up?
No. Okay. All right. Next up will be discussion items from the board. Attention back to the schedule for our meetings is included in there.
Looking for the items from the board,
John.
It's on
119. Yeah, page 120 on mine.
121.
Okay. Guess I didn't scroll down far enough to scroll a little bit. 120. Mm-hmm.
So I guess what we have here is a couple of minutes to talk about the NSBA conference that we attended. Any comments or anything that anybody would like to mention here in the board meeting that they are impressed with at San Antonio?
I have one comment. On Saturday, I went to one of those schools of study connecting high school students to future professions. And it was upstate New York. They have five colleges. Lots of help with this. But they were able to, like if you're going for a nursing degree, while they're in high school, they didn't just work on general ed. And they were allowed to work on some of their nursing stuff. And I'm wondering if there's any way we can work with Snow and allow, you know, get that so that we can, if a student knows she wants to be a nurse, why can't we point her in that direction and get some of the classes out there?
And I think the answer to that is that we do.
We do general ed. They pretty much, they can get their associates and they're close to it by then, but there's nothing specialized.
So they're actually, so we have worked on it probably a little more since when your own daughters went through the program. It has improved. I actually have a meeting tomorrow with Snow College. It's called our K-16 Alliance, where we talk about these issues. And now they offer the CNA. So a lot of our students they become certified nurse assistants, the CNA program. And then we worked really closely with our hospital over the last 3 years, and we have a medical assistant program similar to CNA, but a little bit different. That they just opened, I think this last semester was the first time that students were eligible. And then we have the EMT course. There's several certificates and stackable courses that launch them into the nursing programs. Aside from actually being accepted into a nursing program, which would be impossible before their graduation, but they can actually take several stackable concurrent enrollment classes that feed into that program.
Prerequisites.
Yeah, prerequisites is the better term. I'll bring it up. I in our meeting tomorrow, I'll double check and verify some of the specific courses.
They have eight different fields that you could go into, but one of them was construction or carpentry.
Construction management.
Mechanics, that type of stuff. Man, we've got this college right here.
And we do have, I talked a little bit about it on the radio this morning, dozens and dozens. We have over 50 courses available through Snow College, over 30 available through our own teachers that are springboarding those classes. And we do have some students, I actually don't encourage it because I want students to enjoy their high school years and find balance, but we do have some students that fully complete their associates. We have several students that complete all of their general ed requirements before graduating from high school. Dozens and dozens of students that are able to register as sophomores, and they're really just freshmen. They've never attended a college class. But there's some great pathways. We've also seen, and I talked about it a little bit with Principal Hepworth this morning, where if students are engaged in their career pathway, all their other classes, it raises all ships. They now have purpose. They start, students that have prior, failed. But there's dozens, the welding, the manufacturing. What we've really been doing a lot of work recently on is work-based learning, which is like internships for high school students. We've really beefed up that program, and more community partners are wanting the pathway. So for a rural district our size, it is amazing that we have that campus right here in our county.
That was my observation. I went to the same session that Ryan's talking about, and I thought, they're in a pretty exclusive community, and yet we offer, I think, as much and more for students to get accelerated into their careers.
Let me just share this really quick. I know you might have one other thing, but some pretty impressive data just from last year. So we had 3,149 concurrent enrollment credits earned last year by our students. It's impressive. We offer like 34 college credit bearing classes ourselves that our teachers offer. 56 or something, it might even be over 60 at this point from Snow College, and then we have 19 at the CTU Center. So the sky's the limit. Literally any pathway that a student might be interested in, we can likely help give some prerequisite courses or get them on, well on their way.
And what you brought it up, it raises, I mean, if they know what they're doing, it raises what they're doing.
We've had some, yeah.
This guy said that they have a 98% college attendance rate from that college, or from that high school. 98% of the kids have the college.
But that gives me the next question. One of the things I did appreciate the conference, because I told these guys, it made me appreciate our district, because we're ahead of the game in so many of those things. But one of the things, we're talking about the high school graduation, the students that want to go on the professional careers is great because they're taking those classes. But our trade kids, a lot of our trade kids don't need those upper level classes. What are our options of the pathways veering off? You have your generals, you have these things that the kids have to have, but the college kids, your seniors, that want to go to college, are going to take the calculus, the college, college and
biology, chemistry,
101, all of those things. But your trade kids, there's other things in their trade that they could be taking that would be more beneficial to them. Like, instead of taking your calculus and stuff like that, there's business, math classes, learning, accounting, things like that, that those kids need to have. They're going to be in the business end of things. Is there a way that we might could kind of veer two ways here?
Yeah, and the state is getting better, and what they're requiring, what they're not, other than the same, I see it in the same breath, they just added an additional credit in social studies last year. So we get flexibility, and then they fill those plugs. But that's one of the benefits. There's pros and cons to the 5x5 that we've talked about. But one of the pros is that we still only require the 32 to graduate. And they really have the opportunity to take 40, that's 10 each year. So there's ample opportunity built right into the schedule where a student can explore, take more classes, earn a certificate. Some of the certificates, I don't know that our students realize, we're working closely with Snow College. You can earn an entire certificate in some fields for $500, $1,000. So when Snow College gives a $500 scholarship to a student, it's a full tuition, it's a full ride scholarship. And sometimes our students don't realize that it's right there within their reach. Yeah. Whether it's welding, mechanics, diesel mechanics, all of the different certificates that Snow.
And one of the things I was talking to Chad about were my son's took the pathway and went to the trade and did Snow College their junior and senior year. And one of the things we found out the hard way is they graduated with the pathway, but then when they turned around and they got a scholarship to go to Snow College, they made them repeat the classes that they took in high school in order to get their degree. And so
they ended up taking
classes we've already done.
Through our K-16 Alliance, it's gotten much, much better. We've repeatedly shared those types of concerns with Snow. They're starting to get more of it's transferable credit, stackable credit. It's improving. There's still some hurdles that we see some of those frustrations, but it's significantly better. The other thing I like that they're really working on in our, and that's a meeting I have tomorrow, is they're listening to our employers. They're saying we don't need this program, we need that program. We can employ XYZ number of students tomorrow if they have this certificate. So they're starting to really adapt to those employable skills. So I agree, and the State Board of Education has made several adjustments on what credits are required. Some of the And it is getting better and better. You saw, I think, the big shift was towards the end of your tenure at North Cedar High as the principal of math, when they stopped seeing that every college student, they don't necessarily need algebra, you know, advanced college algebra. They could take a statistics class that will benefit them more for this pathway. And then they need to continue. I think we still, I'll bring it up tomorrow, but we still have weaknesses for usable daily construction management type math, or the math that you're going to need for this or that certificate to be successful.
Which would fit better for your trade
yes.
students. It would prepare them more for the life that they're going to have rather than a statistics class.
And it's going to feel real. It's going to feel, they're going to buy in and engage better in that type of class.
I think that the awareness has gotten much better too. That's one thing that I've talked about the last few board meetings was like the sophomore training that we go out and we've added so much to that so that kids are aware of what's available and why they would take a different class.
One of the big hurdles we have, and it's difficult because each and every student is different in their needs and what they want to do. Senioritis is real. You know, I've raised three kids that are senior. I have one still coming up. But our entire system is designed for students to explore. And if they're exploring and they know the pathway they want, then go after that pathway while still enjoying your high school career, finding ways to be engaged and enjoy the high school experience. But what tends to happen when we have this type of flexibility with 40 credits, if the student is a seminary student, which it takes advantage of release time, that jumps to 36 credits, but still, they have 4 credits that they can still explore with. It even allows a student to fail and still make up that class. There are, of the 32 credits, there's still 24 that are more required, and it's less than 24, but required classes that a student has to have, and they've just added one to social studies. But we need to continue to message to our parents, our students, everyone involved, that the system's designed for students to explore, enjoy courses, and if they know the direction they want to go, without overdoing it, get as much credit towards that degree or certificate as they possibly can. But then reality hits, our senior year comes along, we get frustrated, we're burned out, we're doing different things, and then we don't take advantage of what's out there.
But hopefully they have good teacher advisors that are helping them and pushing them. They should. You have those in high school.
It's the people are there. It's there. It's still a struggle. Helping everyone realize what's available. And then, like I said, I like Mike's point, advertising, helping everyone realize that the sky's the limit. And we don't expect them to choose their pathway. That's hard to do, to choose your career that young. But if you have an idea of which direction you want to go.
Well, and that's one of the things that was brought up. They said, well, what if they get into it and they don't want to do that? Well, they can shift. You know, in that program there, they can shift to something else. But what that does is when they get to college, they know, well, I don't want to do this. So they don't even do classes in that. You know, I mean, how many guys do you know went to college and changed their major?
It's very common, and we don't want to waste our students' time. We don't want to fill their schedule with classes that aren't going to benefit them. But the key is early planning, and we're doing a lot with that. Like Jill's saying, we do visit with middle school students. We visit with freshmen, sophomores. We try to find their passion and their pathway and connect them to something versus just take classes to fill a class. That's not the goal either. But that's the struggle that our schools face is trying to attach them to something that will really benefit them. And I can tell you story after story where students were failing and they got into the right program. And whatever it is, the one I'm thinking of right now is a South Suburban High School student that came, and we talked about him a lot. We actually interviewed him, and there was a newspaper article, but he came in and was really struggling, moved into our area, didn't have a lot of credit. He got passionate about welding, and then all of a sudden, all of his courses, he had purpose. He was motivated. He had success. But it's just taking advantage of the system. And I like I said, my own children have struggled with this. But a lot of times I'll say, try this class at the CT Center at Snow College. It's just, try this. And they look back and like, I really liked that. That was a good opportunity. And it might just be a life skill, even though it's not a career path.
Yeah.
And what I was thinking of my youngest son was a construction class. He really enjoyed it and he learned life skills. So the sky's the limit, but it is a struggle.
But that's why. It saved, I had two boys that had no interest in high spending. They wanted to wrestle, but they have no interest in the academic part of high school. And that's why CTE was fabulous. I had two girls that that's all they wanted was to get ready to go to college. So it just depends. But it's not college style, but it's great. If you can push the kids over there so they can try the different programs and see which one they actually like, and then if you have the work experience that goes with it, then they're going to be able to actually get in there and see if that's what they want to do.
Yeah, I think it's a great opportunity. Sometimes it helps them get ahead. And sometimes it helps them get into something and say, no, that's not what I want to do. And both of those outcomes are beneficial to our students. So,
don't take it that I...
No, it's great. It's
fine. I'm grateful for Snow College because both my daughters took advantage of it, almost had their associates when they graduated. Great program. I just thought if we could expand it a little.
Yep, I'll bring that up. And there's always areas we can improve. They could offer other courses beyond some of those basic courses.
Yeah.
One thing I wanted to bring up really quick, and I talked about it a little bit on the radio this morning, but one of the sessions I attended that I really, really liked literally talked about the effect that school board behaviors have on student outcomes. And several research studies that I really liked, that, and I think that's a key to a lot of our success in our county, is the school board, you don't always agree. We talk through these issues, just like the one we've been talking through. But you always have dignity. Your behavior is appropriate. You work together. You question. You challenge one another. And that is directly linked, according to several research studies throughout several states, to student achievement. So when the board has a shared vision, when the board has high expectations for students, when they're holding the administrators accountable, they're looking at data, they're looking at graduation rates and student achievement data on assessments and ACTs, that does really matter. When they've studied school boards that are dysfunctional, and they point out political reasons, lack of consensus, micromanagement, not understanding the board's role versus the administration or school's roles, they get dysfunction and their students don't achieve. It nosedives. Which makes sense in my brain, but I just don't know, and that's why I was talking about on the radio, if our community realizes what a blessing it is to have a school board that tries to collaborate, work well together. Each of you you have different constituents that you represent, and there's different, you know, emotions that come to the table sometimes, but you always have dignity, you always try to respect one another, and that shows in our graduation rate and our student achievement. It's super important. So I was fascinated by the study and really enjoyed that, hearing about that.
Well, it was a great conference, and I very much appreciate the school district's investment in us to sharpen our saw, to rub shoulders with some of our colleagues from other states and find out what's current. It's a great opportunity for us, and I appreciate the district providing that opportunity for us. Any other comments from the conference?
I just reiterate what Jill was saying. As far as I know, after the one session, you leaned over and said, one thing I get from coming here is to realize how where we are in a comparison, that we're in a really good place. And I've noticed that over the years. 10 years ago, when I went, I would go and think, man, it would sure be great if we were there. And now, when I go to some of those sessions, I think we're in a really good place. We've come a long way. And so, I think one on mental health that we went to, and they're so far advanced compared to what they were presenting. It was, you know, and we've done the work, and so it shows. And so, it's good to go and learn things, but it's also good to go and see that we're in, our district is in a really good place as a result of the hard work of everybody here. So I appreciated that.
Thank you. Any other comments on the conference? conference from the board. Next item is about the board key performance review in May, and I'm assuming that'll be emailed to us to watch our email for that.
Yep.
And to reply to that, fill that out so we can discuss it at the next board meeting. Any other discussion items from the board?
I just had one question, Krista. We had a work session where we were supposed to do the board test and all that, you know.
Yes.
It's
still not up. I checked it just a few days ago, and it still has an error message when you pull it up. So,
okay. Yeah. Board meetings.
Uh-huh. Yes. They're trying to switch it over to Canvas, and it's still not there. There's no link that you can.
Yes,
I'll let you know. Mm-hmm. I do have a reminder to keep checking it. So,
okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
All right, next up then, items from the administration. Dr. Douglas, can you help us with that?
I don't have an awful lot. Wanted to make you aware, we're still, Krista's working hard to get those senior walk times. We had a couple more come in today after we had already posted the agenda, but you can see on there, Salisbury High School, they're planning one third at the elementary. High School, they're starting at 9:45 at their school. Then they're going to Red Hills Middle School at 10, and then Ashman Elementary at 10:15, and Pavon Elementary at 10:30. So just every 15 minutes. What day did they say?
May 13th.
May 13th. I didn't get that part down. So they start at 9:45, and then they just work their way Red Hills, Ashman, and Pavant. We're also trying to add Kishurum Elementary for Richfield High this year. It's almost more than half, it seems like now. Kishurum Elementary students choose Richfield High. The other half go to Paiute High. But we thought it would be a great idea to have some of those graduating seniors go up and visit with the Kishurum Elementary students. It's been a wonderful tradition. I think we've done it now for 8 or 9 years. You all have attended in the past. The teachers love it. It's really fun for them to see their students growing up and graduating and just celebrating. A lot of those younger kids really look up to those students, and it gives them something to look forward to. So I'll have Krista email out those times as we get them. We're just waiting on North Sevier attendance area now. And she's going to continue to to push them to get us those times. The sooner, the better. I think you already have on your calendars the retiree dinner scheduled for April 29th at 6 o'clock. It's always a great celebration. Remember, we try to honor those that have 10 years or more in with the district. Sometimes we have people that transfer or have less than the 10, but we try to celebrate all of our employees, not only teachers but support staff at that retiree dinner every year. It's always, you can plan on it every year around the end of April, that last week in April. Legislative update, I just put more to come. Chad and I we're going to be in meetings Monday and Tuesday where the State Board of Education, the governor's office, different fiscal analysts will be meeting with us and determining exactly where things landed with the legislative session, and they give each school district the exact dollar amounts. We're able to talk through a lot of the policy changes. I've already warned you that they passed a record number of, well, they ran a record number over 1,000 bills this year, so it's very exhausting work to try to keep our policies up to date with the laws. We have monthly meetings where we analyze and update our policies and try to stay in line with the laws, but it's overwhelming how many laws are passed each year. We'll just keep working through them. Graduation schedule, I think you already all have on your calendar. It's almost always the last Friday right before Memorial Day, so it's the 22nd of May this year. We start with Cedar Ridge High. You saw the change, 9:30. I had this on my agenda last month. I think that'll really help us to start at 9:30 in the theater. And then Richfield High is at noon this year, and these rotate. Salisbury High at 2:30, North Sevier High at 5 o'clock. My last couple of items, discussion items. We're still digging into the multiplier effect, having some great discussions with principals. We're going to wrap it up this year, and then we're going to start another book I'm really excited about that I'll introduce to you in a month or two. But really, what this chapter we've been working on, you can see the quote, anxiety is not a fertile ground for good thinking. It talks a lot about making sure that as leaders, we continue to coach our principals, our assistant principals, and all of our teachers to make people feel comfortable. Make sure that we're curious. I loved a part in the chapter this time that I didn't catch last time I read this. This is the third time I read this book. But the importance of being curious instead, you know, like when people come to you for advice, you don't just give them the answer. You're not helping them. You need to be curious and then be more curious and then be more curious and help them find their strength and help them solve their problem. And oftentimes the person that's closest to the problem has a lot more success in solving the problem than your advice. This chapter talks a lot about making sure that our teachers and our staff don't live in a pressure tank of anxiety, because that is not a fertile ground for good thinking. I also wanted to share just one quick video. This one, it's not so much related to education, but I want to share it. I shared it with the principals because we're in the kid business. You know, the work that we do affects our students' lives, and we're in the kid business. This, my wife actually shared this with me. She works for the Utah Foster Care Foundation, and it's just a touching video of what one person did to help a child that was in need. And I think it's worth sharing. And just as a reminder to all of us that our work is always got to be focused on students. It's a challenge because we've tried to create a system that's good for all students, but we have to keep in mind that there is no two students that are alike. They all have unique needs. We have to find ways to meet the needs of all of our students within our system, and that can be really challenging. Let me make sure I've got sound, and I'll show you. This is just a quick video. I doubt any of you have seen it, but it's pretty touching.
It's almost too good to be true. Steve Hartman's story this week is almost too good to be true.
Sorry. You need nothing.
Surrounded by friends and family.
I don't have the screen yet. Hang on. You can hear it. There we go. It's a really cool story. You know, the other thing I liked about it, I was telling the principals, is it's a reminder, you know, I don't watch the news. This is a news story. I don't watch the news very often. I try to stay up on the news. I get most of it just through reading or social media like anyone else. But it's a reminder of how good the world really is. There's a lot of wonderful people in the world that make good decisions, and they care about other people. Make sure I got the sound still. No, I don't. Let me jump over here. It's just one quick fix right here. There we go.
Oh, good. To be true.
Surrounded by friends and family on his birthday, this 10-year-old was on cloud nine. But as you'll soon see, his bliss has been uneasy. Back in 2022, that boy, named True, needed a heart procedure. He was under the care of social services at the time, and the day of the surgery, for whatever reason, he was just dropped off here at Children's Nebraska. Anesthesiologist Amy Beathy found him in pre-op.
He was just sitting there all alone.
Wait, so he's there for a major procedure and there's no adult with him at all?
No adult with him at all.
Why were you there by yourself?
I have no idea.
Did you know why you were there?
The procedure lasted about 7 hours. And through it all, Dr. Beathy says she just kept staring at the sweet face of the poor boy, who at that moment had no mom or dad or stable home life. And that's when Amy decided that even though she already had six kids, she just had to take in this seventh.
After I dropped through off in recovery, I called my husband, and I just said, we need to have a talk. When you get home, I need you to have an open mind.
Ryan says he was a little hesitant at first,
but it didn't take long to hear what was needed, and it just felt right.
A year and a half later, their adoption was complete.
So, yeah, that's how the story goes.
But it's not how the story ends. Up until that point, Drew had been living with five other siblings in that same unstable home environment. Amy knew she and Ryan could adopt all of them. So the good doctor decided to do the next best thing. First, she got her sister and her husband to agree to adopt Tylin. Then her sister-in-law and her husband took Tyra. And finally, she got a co-worker and her husband to make Malia and Takari part of their family.
There was one left, and then I went back to my husband.
And that's how Lainey got adopted, too. And all of this because of a doctor who believed that saving lives wasn't just her day job, who advocated for the voiceless and recruited a village to make six lives better for many birthdays to come.
Pretty cool story. Just a reminder, you know, that there is a lot of good still in the world. There's a lot of good people out there that are trying to take care of one another. And then I wanted to share it just to remind us that's what we're all about. That's our focus has to continue to be on taking care of students and helping them fulfill the American dream, right? Giving them the skills they need, especially in literacy and math, and then all the other contents as they grow older to where they can actually achieve their dreams. And a lot of our students, I think you all know it, I'm preaching to the choir, that well more than half of our students aren't dealt a very fair hand in life. And public education, our system, is the great equalizer. It allows for students like this little boy to have a shot, to have a shot at life and to find happiness and to live the American dream. So it is difficult. It's like I mentioned earlier, it's a real struggle to try to meet the needs of all 5,000 students. We try to have a system that meets the needs, but then we have to constantly differentiate individualized instruction, try to meet the needs of everyone and try to get everyone's buy-in. So, it's fun. Any questions or concerns for me? I think that's everything I had on the agenda. I'm actually really excited. Our next real push with principals and assistant principals, instructional coaches, is to really try to feed them more effective strategies for teaching so we continue the focus on improved instruction, coaching, honing in on quality instruction. And I'm excited about that. I think we've got some really good research and work we can do in the coming year or two. So, anything else for me? Good. All right.
Thank you, Superintendent Douglas. Now we have some items from Mr. Willis.
It upsets me a little bit when Kate shows somewhat emotional videos right before I get up here. But it does give me a hope that someday somebody will adopt me. So, I don't have very many items either this month, but just quickly go through assessment. We just kicked off the end of year summative assessments. The RISE, I know we have at least one school that started in the writing portion of it, so I can't believe we're already to that piece of the school year. But moving forward, we'll tie up all those end-of-year assessments, and hopefully all our students are well-prepared, and the administrators and the teachers have not only prepared them, but have gotten them excited about finishing the year strong. On my number two information items, I wanted to to remind you that several years ago, we put together our school climate initiatives. And this was, we started this before we really knew what we had. We just knew we were doing a lot of things, and so we started putting them together on a list and compiling them. It was a living document that we would add to. We'd take some things away if we stopped doing some of those things. But we've kind of turned that over to Shyla, and she's revamped it. It used to be 4 pages, both sides, and now we've kind of organized it a little better, and now it's 10 pages. Kind of gives you an idea of all the things we've done. This is before the 5-year grant, and then during the 5-year grant, and all the programs that we've done, the people we've brought in, trying to strengthen the culture in our district, and through mental health efforts and those types of things. We've done, tried, and tested, and are maintaining many of these programs. So if anybody ever asks, what is Sevier School District doing in terms of this? And I know that we're kind of a guiding light to several districts around our area. They call and ask quite often, but you can always refer to this document and get an idea of a lot of the things that we have done. There's, like I said, some of them have dropped off over the years, but a lot of them have stuck, and hopefully we're staying a little bit ahead of the game. I don't know if the problem continues to grow in the world, and we're hopefully doing our fair share to try and maintain a good place there. I'll just kind of skim past a couple of these things and drop down to my last couple of, at least number 3 down here. Volunteer for Good. We've talked about this a little bit. Jennifer Christensen, one of our directors, is over this program called the Golden Program. It's a community engagement piece, and our high schools are involved with the pilot program for the state. We've had the state personnel come down. Can't think of all the names, so I won't mention them, but I will say it's an ongoing project where the high schools are coming up with ideas to serve and to get kids to learn the value in serving. There's multiple opportunities there that they have, and the community is coming up with ideas. Thinking of North Sevier at this time, and they are really going gangbusters on this. They found the right person there that is just steamrolling over there, and they're doing such great things. All 3 of our high schools are doing great things, but just a few of the things mentioned down here. On examples, Richfield High, each year they do their Haiti breakfast. They do send high school students down to the elementary school to read to students, and they've started somewhat of a big brother program, a mentoring program project as well. South Sevier High School, each of their small communities, that is spread out a little bit over there, but each of those communities, they go to their town councils and so forth, and those towns are supplying projects in each of the communities, and they send kids over to work on whatever it might be. North Sevier High School, they've been doing quite a few things. These are just a few examples. Educational youth kits for the hospital, community cleanup projects through the city and local businesses. They've been helping with the backpack clubs, getting packs ready for those elementary and middle school students, maybe even high school students that might need food on the weekends and so forth. High school students reading at the elementary and middle school. Their big project, and I wish I would have added some of the photos that Principal Harris sent over the weekend. They are revamping the NS up on the hill. They brought in some engineers and surveyors to get it lined up really nice, and so it looks good. And then they've put in a solar project so that it lights up on the hill as well. But they had a whole crew up there this last weekend. Ryan was sending us pictures as we were at the conference. Looked like a little anthill with so many people up on that hill, moving rocks and doing their due diligence to take pride in the community and work together. A lot of smiles on the close-ups you could see and so forth. But big project. They also have, I didn't even know they had a city museum over there, but they're working on that. Jill, you never told us.
Been there a long time.
I didn't know. I didn't know, but now I do. And so just lots of organized activities that the kids can participate in and show pride in the community, and that builds not only in the community, but it builds at the high school level and throughout the school. So such great things happening in our schools right now, and this Golden or the service program is a really good thing, and we're seeing lots of great things come out of that. Kids are learning how to serve others besides just themselves, and it just builds a really strong morale and a culture in each of our communities, and we're really glad to be part of that pilot program. So hats off to Jennifer Christensen and all her efforts, and then all the community and the high school students that are working together to make Sevier School or Sevier County a better place.
One of the cool pieces on that pilot, and it's been a struggle. It's just another thing on everybody's plates, but there's no better cause than service. And one of the key pieces is helping students. We knew that students were already serving. We have a very student-oriented community. There's a lot of families that put in a lot of service time. But one of the key pieces was tracking their service and getting closure. It's just like for teachers, when they teach a good lesson, one of the most important parts, all the parts are important, but one of the most important parts to a lesson that research has shown is closure to the lesson. Mm-hmm. Wrap it up, give, you know, ticket out the door, closure, because then the lesson is embedded in their memory. And that's the case with this service, that we're finding that as students are starting to reflect on how they felt when they served, reflect and have closure on what service they provided, and do a little bit of just tracking and reflection, it's really been beneficial. There's a component to the program where they're supposed to go in and reflect or account for what they served. And it's kind of fun to be a part of the pilot because they're tracking. I mean, we're talking millions of dollars in service labor that would have occurred that these students are providing to the state of Utah. Kind of fun to see those numbers go up.
Well, and to speak to that, one of the things that I like, because I was like what superintendent said, just one more thing to add to the plate, and then I realized kids are different than when I was in high school as far as with the social media. They're becoming much more isolated, and this gives them the opportunity to get out and about and give back, but also, you know, structured around group activity almost in a way that they don't get anywhere else. And so this has been a really good thing, and hopefully it'll continue to get better, and we'll come up with more and more projects, and it'll benefit everybody involved. So really good stuff. That's all I have. Any questions for me? Okay. Thank you.
Mr. Roy.
So the only thing I had on my agenda was just to just remind the board that our RFP for the Richfield High School field turf project has been put out. Most of you are at the USBA luncheon the other day where the contractor said he had seen the RFP. So that was good news. That was one of the contractors we were hoping would take a good look at it. They have a lot of experience. So the one thing, just so the board is fully aware on this project, we're bidding it out different than we have in the past. Normally, everything we do is a hard bid where when we bid it out and select a general, it's a cost bid. They're giving us a cost for the project. This RFP is to just select a construction manager. So it's more of a qualifications and experience RFP that they'll be submitting. And then once we have a construction manager selected, then we'll do the selection of the sub. We'll do the bidding for the subcontractors later and get pricing. So this first process is we wanted to bring on a contractor that has lots of experience doing these things so that we could involve them in the planning and design stages of the project. It's quite complicated when it comes to timing and making sure that the old turf is removed and the new turf is installed in a timely manner so that we have football season and whatnot. And the ordering of the bleachers, given that they're sometimes a 12-month lead item, we need to get a contractor on board to help get those ordered right away. So that is out. Contractors are looking at it now. We've had a couple questions submitted on the RFP, and we've been answering those. And then we'll be selecting that construction management partner towards the end of the month. So next board meeting, you guys, you'll likely be approving that selection. Any questions on that?
I'll just mention one thing, kind of go along with that. I attended a meeting yesterday at R6, which is the old 6 County you're all familiar with. It was actually very beneficial. They tried to bring to the table, this is the first of many meetings, but they tried to bring to the table mayors of the three largest cities in the county. A county commissioner was there. Several city managers were there. And then several of the R6 employees that do a lot of the community planning and visions and what we're trying to accomplish in the county in all three attendance areas. It was actually really, really beneficial to hear what projects were going on in the North Sevier attendance area, what projects were going on in the South Sevier attendance area, Richfield. Some of them I wasn't aware of. And so I think the purpose of the meeting is just get everyone together and continue to work together with all three communities. It's a unique challenge that we deal with that some of the other surrounding communities don't, that they might only have one high school or one attendance area. And where we have three, we have to work together, especially the leaders. It was good, and it was fun to review some of the projects that we've accomplished over the last 10 years. It was pretty impressive to really think about all of the different projects that the school district had worked with the county or the individual cities on already. But I think the vision is to continue to meet. I think R6 has a grant that they will put together, bring in people that will help continue to have a vision, kind of a 10-year plan, a 20-year plan, things that we can continue to work on as a community, and figure out. The funding's the big elephant in the room. It's always very, very difficult to figure the funding out. But if we all work together, and especially the leaders of each of the three attendance areas, communicate, work together, start supporting one another and getting our citizens to support one another, we can accomplish some pretty cool community projects. So it was good. It was good for them to hear what we're working on. They had a lot of questions on our current 10-year plan. I talked a lot about our prior 10-year plan. We bonded in 2013. It seems like yesterday. But we've accomplished all of those, and now we're already almost 2 years into our current 10-year plan and then our future 10-year plan. So it was great. It was a good meeting.
Yeah, thanks.
Thank you, Mr. Lloyd. Is there anything else that anybody wants to bring up and discuss in this board meeting? We do have a closed meeting, and the purpose of this meeting is to discuss the character, professional competence, or physical or mental health of an individual. I would entertain a motion to close this meeting.
I'll make a motion.
Seconded.
It's been moved and seconded, and I think since we're going to close meeting, do we need to
have roll call?
Yeah, roll call. Roll call vote. So, Mrs. Porter?
Yes.
Yes.
Mr. Savage?
Yes.
Mr. Hansen?
Yes.
And I'm a yes, so the meeting is adjourned.